And if you're looking for a house, you know how expensive a move-in ready home is. That is why some people are on the search for deals, more specifically fixer-uppers. But is that the best way to go? Joining us to talk about is Ron Citrin of Long & Foster. Ron, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you.
So the fixer-upper market, I know when I was in the market, I saw a lot of those. You're looking at them. They're in pieces and parts of the home. Is that the route to go? Because I know you can get a good deal, but there's a lot to think about, right?
There's a lot to think about. And fixer-upper means a lot of different things. Sometimes it's just a cosmetic upgrade, which could be really simple. Other times it's a combination of maybe cosmetics as well as the systems, you know, the furnace, the air conditioning, the roof, the windows. So now we're adding a whole another layer of money onto the renovation. And then a lot of times with these fixer-uppers, they just, some of them look clean and nice and neutral and just need the upgrades. Other of them just look like, ugh, you know, you don't even want to go inside it. And it's just, and those tend not to be as attractive to home buyers.
I'll always remember one home I walked into and we opened a cabinet and a bunch of locust things flew out of the cabinet.
Yeah.
I walked out
Hard
of
to
the
buy
house.
That one. Yes.
I'm done. But yeah. What do you look for if you go into a fixer-upper? I mean, what type of mindset should you be in when you step into one of these homes and you're considering putting a bid for them?
Well, the first thing is many times so the fixer-upper, in theory, should always be priced at a lower price point than the rest of the houses that are selling at a premium. What you want to look for, though, is to make sure, and I have an example like this last week, where someone found a house priced at $620, the neighborhood houses are selling at $720. But after they brought in an architect and had some consultations, they felt they'd be spending over $100,000 to get this house up to the par they wanted it at. So is this such a good deal anymore? On that particular case, I don't think so.
Well, that makes perfect sense. You need to at least sit down, put the numbers together before you even consider moving forward, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, everyone's always aware of doing home inspections. That's part of the normal process. But with a fixer-upper, I think it's really a good idea to bring in a contractor, an architect, someone that can help you with pricing. You know, how much is a new kitchen going to be? How much are new bathrooms going to be? Just so you have a real sense of what you're really thinking about spending. Because the big issue here, many times after you buy a house, you don't have that, depends who you are, but you may not have enough money to do all the renovation work that you wanted to do.
And what about foreclosures real quick? I asked you a little bit off the air. Is there a market for that right now?
Not like there was back in 2008 and 2009. There may be some that are coming back on the market, but the foreclosure market, the banks tend to be very good at pricing their houses to sell these days, and they are selling quickly. And the other thing I've noticed with the real deteriorated homes, if they've really fallen out of livable condition, there's a tremendous investor market of what we call rehabbers, where they're always looking to buy these super distressed properties, renovate them, fix them up, and turn around and sell them and make a profit.
Now, what if you're holding on to one of these depressed properties when it comes to either being a fixer-upper or just something that hasn't been maintained? Should you put the money into it before listing it, or would you maybe save some by just listing as is, selling as is?
I'll tell you what I see. This is the most common occurrence that I see most often, and even with a lot of my own clients. A lot of them, they're estate sales, or that it was original owner that's lived in the house a very long time. We call it benign neglect. Just things, you know, weren't taken care of over long periods of time and just deteriorated, and the cosmetics are dated. I find the simplest way for the people in charge of selling these homes is to keep it simple. Make sure it's clean, fresh coat of paint, remove any old carpeting, and just create a blank slate for the next buyer to come in and do what they want to do with it. Because trying to renovate the whole house can be more of a project than you really are anticipating.
And that's interesting. In your mindset, what's the most important area of the house to have looking good if you're going to sell it? Is it a bathroom? Is it a kitchen? Is it curb appeal? What do you think?
Well, from a fixer-upper perspective, if you're selling a fixer-upper, the most important thing you can do is make sure it feels clean. If it doesn't feel clean right from the beginning, the turnoff levels from buyers is huge. So that first level where you come in, that foyer, living room entry, if you have wood floors and white paint and it's just popping nicely, even though, okay, the kitchen's dated, the bathrooms are dated, people will still say, hey, this house has good bones. We can work with this. We can make something happen.
So you have to make it to where they can envision what they're going to do with the home.
I call it the blank slate. A blank slate.
I like it. All right. Well, thank you, Ron. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Ron Citrin there of Long & Foster. And, you know, maybe there's a time to go out there and maybe look at a home that might need a little TLC. You never know what you could find. All right, thank you again, Ron. It's 1124 WTOP.